This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome to show number 141. We were just talking about, were you watching one, Steve, the other day, you said, from like 2022?
Yeah, John Clore.
Did remember, I look younger and more hair?
No, not at all. We had John Clore on via screen, remember?
Oh, that's right. The Ford guy.
Yep. Ford Performance.
Ford Performance guy. Yeah, the Ford guy. Is that the way he wants to be referred to?
I don't know, probably.
I hope not. Anyway, great week. This rain's got to stop because we got events coming up this weekend, and the rain needs to go away. So if anybody can help us with that, let's do that. We've got the Chariots of Fire car show coming up this weekend. And then we've got the Twin Valley Barbecue Cook-Off competition in the back lot, which is interesting because it's right up against the fence, which is where my house is. So that'll be smelling like barbecue.
Can you just walk over and grab some?
I hope so.
Pulled pork or whatever?
I should have a little pull or sway here, right? We hope so anyway. Some of our new inventory, not new inventory, but cars that found new homes. Guess how many we have in inventory right now?
970. Do I go
that.
High?
Yeah, you go.
Maybe because I spend my time at a computer writing the descriptions.
That 942. Like, we're two ahead of last week. Somehow that happened. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, which is a very comfortable number for us. Mm-hmm. We're happy to have 942 in inventory. Places that our classics found new homes this week: Hamburg, Pennsylvania; Downingtown, Pennsylvania; Chad's Ford, Pennsylvania. Schenectady, New York. I didn't even know. That's weird. Winchester, Virginia. New Suffolk, New York. Mm-hmm. Ottsville, Pennsylvania. Destin, Florida. See, I know that one. Holly, Michigan. Bellevue, Colorado. Falls Church, Virginia. North Wales, Pennsylvania. McCleary, Washington. Southgate, Michigan. Naples, Florida. Mooresville, Indiana. Washington, Pennsylvania. Flora, Mississippi. Mount Upton, New York. Phoenix, New York. Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. Pleasantville, New Jersey. Dover, New Hampshire. Fryeburg, Maine. Sillingly, France. And York, Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Yeah. Silling.
What'd you say? Fryeburg, Maine?
I don't know.
Is Didn't know there was one.
Yeah. It's amazing what we learn here.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's get to our guest because he's infinitely more interesting to talk than what we're jabbering about up here. We have a wonderful guest with us in the studio, which is unusual. We haven't had anybody in the studio in a while. You're our first in-studio guy. And it's usually Zoom or telephone or something. Tony Angelo. YouTuber, influencer, drifter, racer. What am I missing?
Yeah, I guess. At one point, TV host.
Yeah, TV host. Fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you've got your YouTube channel now is crazy. You're so is doing stuff specifically for YouTube versus doing like a broadcast show, is it easier, better, the same?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. The YouTube stuff, you know, I was really involved in the broadcast show as far, it kind of like helped me catapult to YouTube because I was already sort of like coming up with the project ideas, writing the outlines.
Right.
I was involved in editing and giving notes and stuff like that. So I was really well versed in that, but the YouTube is so much volume. You know, we do a 50 minute show every week.
Wow.
So it's just a grind. It's a lot of work, but it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's people usually the path is a different way. It's YouTube to broadcast, right? But nowadays, people like YouTube, I think, because you can control your own destiny a lot better on YouTube, right? You can do what you want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a ton of freedom. Infinite kind of upside. Mm-hmm. And you know, it allows us to do the freedom not only in the cars we build and the way we want the show to be, but also like, you know, where I am every week and like able to sort of set my life up how I want to set it up. So it's been really cool. But yeah, lots of people I think start on YouTube and want to go to broadcast. But if you're doing pretty well on YouTube, it's pretty great.
No real need to go to broadcast, yeah. Right? Well, I think that, you look at the people that are doing well on there. We have a guy who literally just comes out here and shoots cars once every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And he's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube. He doesn't really, it's not much talking. It's not like a show. It's not like a script of any type. He's just kind of shooting some cars. And apparently something clicked with people.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to get, I mean, you know, we work our tails off and we spend a fortune. And now we're at 4,000, I think, which is like, you know, we're excited about it. Then we look at yours and go, yeah, well, we're just playing YouTube here.
We had, a really great Lego up to start because I had a big following to start with.
Right.
But yeah, stay tuned is the channel, and we're coming up on 300,000 subs in about, you know, a full time, maybe year and a half or something. Right. It's been amazing.
And the name, Stay Tuned, how perfect, because it's got broadcast and car connotations.
Yeah, actually, shout out to Freddie Tavares, who's a monster YouTuber. It was his idea.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, I was not, you know, I really wanted to make the jump from Motor Trend stuff into YouTube. So I talked to some of the big guys that I'm buddy with.
Sure.
And Freddie was like, you should, you know, I talked to basically Derek and Derek from Vice Grip.
Right.
And Freddie from Tavares, you know, Freddie Tavares. And they both were like, you should do it. I think you could get it done. Derek's advice was the best. He was like, it's a ton of work. It's really hard. You know, there's no days off. A million people ask me, can I make a living doing it? I tell them all, don't do it. He was like, but I'm telling you to do it. You should do it. You can get it done. So, but Tavares was like, yeah, I've been sitting on this name forever. If you want to use it, it's called, I'm sticking Stay Tuned.
And that's like, awesome.
I will take
Very
that.
Good.
I will take
well,
that.
Well, it's no different than the music business. I mean, you know, people say, what does it take to be famous or be successful? If you have to ask, you know, you probably already missed the opportunity. The window is gone. And I think that happens a lot with people. I mean, did you have a gut feeling because of your following already when you started the Stay Tuned channel? You had a gut feeling that it was probably going to work, right? I mean, it wasn't like it was a complete crapshoot.
I mean, honestly, we're still at a place where I'm not sure that we're where we want to be just yet. Obviously, the growth has been amazing and we're like able to, you know, continue working and it's been really killer, but yeah, I had a pretty good idea.
Sure.
We were not allowed, I wasn't allowed with my Motor Trend contract to have a YouTube channel for about 5 years.
Wow.
And once the pandemic hit, they were like, we're done shooting indefinitely. And I was like, this is my only income. You're going to have to let me do something else.
Right.
I'm going to start a YouTube channel. And they're like, that's totally cool. There were some restrictions on it as far as like collaborating and sponsors and stuff. But even just doing that, I had a real big first push of subscribers and like response to it.
Right.
That it sort of buoyed me to be like, I think we could pull this off. And then honestly, I talked to Derek and he was like, you should do it.
Just do it. And that's all you need to hear sometimes. Yeah. It's just somebody who you know, respect or respect their opinion. When they say go for it, just do it. That means a lot to give you the confidence that, you know, you're not, you know, you always ask people, how was the show? And they go, it was great. You know, you think, well, was it really? Or was it, you know, are you just using that just because I'm standing right here? So, some of the other names that y'all come up with, the V8 Porsches, the ones you called the Power Crouch.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
Luke, is that you?
That's
that
me.
Was you. I love that. So you're stuffing big 350 cubic inch Chevy engines in the back of 911s.
We're doing all sorts of stuff.
That's awesome. And, you know, the thing about 911s are people don't realize is that they're not all garage kept. There's a lot of them that are rats out there.
Absolutely.
You know, you see some that are just, I mean, you're like, really? Yeah. Somebody did that, you know?
Mine was pretty grimy.
Yeah.
We bought it for $6,900.
Yeah, well, that tells you everything you need to know, right?
Exactly. I just put, like, it was on eBay and I'd had a couple beers and it was in Chicago and I'd had two 996s.
Right.
One that was kind of a ratty project and I bought a nice one and just wound up driving it and then selling it.
Sure.
Kind of a flip scenario. I just was too cheap to not buy it. It was like a C4S, like a nice car.
Yeah.
But they're all 996s because I can't afford air cooled cars.
Yeah. Nor would you want to do anything to them.
No, exactly. Yeah. Just leave it alone and wait for some tech guy to come spend $300,000 on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so I bought it for dirt cheap and that's kind of been the vibe of the car. Our vibe of our whole channel is very down and dirty. It's very like, we don't polish anything too much.
Right.
But that was it. Yeah. Buy that. I didn't buy an LS7. We got a 5.3, put a big cam in it.
Which is plenty.
An animal. That car is a wild animal. So, yeah.
And is it, I mean, the weight heavy on the rear end has got to be a little handling.
It's a little different. I don't think it's much different.
Sure.
The motor is actually lighter than the 6 once you figure out how stripped down everything is. And there is the way we did our kit. We got it from this guy, Chavis, who does 911 projects, Chavis Performance in Maryland. They give you two options and they're like, you can stick it back here.
Right.
This is easy.
Right.
It's easier to fit everything.
Sure.
But if you stick it like 3 inches forward, it's going to drive better. So we did that. The axles are a little more complicated and the exhaust is more complicated, but I think it did help for sure.
And for those of you who don't know, the 996 was the first generation of the water-cooled Porsches after the air-cooled Porsches in 1999. And they didn't have as much love in the beginning, although they're starting to get some love now. We're starting to see the prices.
I think a couple different things happened. The headlights, people were, you know,
runny eggs.
The runny egg headlights, like, just disgusted a lot of people, even though they came off like they were inspired by one of the nastiest race cars ever.
Exactly.
And the car from the door forward is the same as a Boxster.
Exactly.
So I think that hurt them too. They're like, we want our 911s to be special. But in reality, Great car.
Great car, yeah.
Porsche's not making any bad 911s.
No, never.
And they're the best value out there.
Sure.
I think they're really good cars. And I had a couple, you know, this is my third one now, and even with just the stock 3.4 or the 3.6, they're killer. As long as, you know, they have issues with the motor blown up and stuff. But,
yeah, but, you know, that's just part
that
of it,
account.
Right?
Yeah.
I have a 997, and it's a 6-speed S, and it's like 350 horsepower. And you think, well, that's not very much. I mean, I got a Mercedes with 700 horsepower.
Yeah.
But this thing, the 911, is so fun to drive.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, it's like point and shoot. You know, it just go, it, you just turn and it goes that direction.
They're so small.
Yeah.
And you can see everything because the hood just falls away. It feels like you're in space driving.
It really does.
I love them. My brother has a 997S.
Yeah.
They're killer.
They really are. They're great cars, and they're you know, a little underappreciated as well, too, I think. I think that there's something that, you know, we'll see them go up in value, just like the 996s will continue to go up in value, we hope.
Yeah.
So the one unknown, or the one thing that probably maybe you weren't thinking about, how's your merchandise sales? Is it going crazy?
It's pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be a full-time job.
It's pretty close. Yeah, right now we're doing a lot of it in-house. We have like you know, we have a small line of shirts. I think we have 6 or 7 shirts for sale at the same time. We have hats. And we haven't done too much more than that because a lot of it is we just don't have the bandwidth to do more.
Oh, right.
You know, maybe as we grow and we bring in more people, we'll get to that. But,
sure.
You know, a lot of the YouTubers and influencers, whatever you want to call them, they have all their stuff done. They outsource it to a production house.
Right.
But for us, like, I've got a buddy that has a killer printing company in PA. So it's all screen printed in Pennsylvania. We go get the shirts. We have, you know, a lot of times Barb helps package them up,
sure,
and they go out, but it's a lot. It's kind of like what we do on Mondays,
right.
But I have my girls on Monday, so I'm not there.
Right.
I take the easy way out.
Right. Got the excuse of the girls, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny that things grow faster sometimes. And, you know, the old joke is when you start the website and you're selling tchotchkes or whatever, and it's one hit. Oh, there's 5 orders. There's 10 orders. There's 50. Oh my God, there's 100,000, you know, it happens so quick sometimes. You have to be prepared for growth.
Yeah. It's tough.
I mean,
you know, we're figuring it all out for sure. And obviously we are super thankful for its support, but
yeah,
the merchandise is bigger than I thought it would be for sure.
Well, I think that, you know, the nice thing about what you do is you're bringing product to people that are specifically what they're looking for, obviously, because that many people to watch it, you know that you've got good content. You know that it's something that people are interested in. And if it doesn't work, you can always adjust a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about YouTube.
Yeah, we're kind of finding our lane. A lot of people, ask, what should I do on YouTube? And I truly believe this. If you're doing something that you believe in and you think it's cool, you can find an audience.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, plenty of people are buying auction cars and fixing them up, buying exotics, fixing them up. Us, we're just picking like kind of down and dirty muscle cars and hot rods, whatever. But there are, now lots of people do like the revive and drive stuff. That's
right.
Sort of Derek,
right.
Pioneer
yep.
for
yep.
sure. There's a million different ways to do it. You know, my buddy Vin from Hoonigan's out on his own now.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't doing a ton of mechanical work.
Right.
It's kind of like, hey, I grabbed this Ferrari cheap. I'm making it a little bit better. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to buy the next thing.
Right.
So there's a million. I believe, honestly, if you're doing something pretty cool, you people can hear you, which is big.
Right.
And like they can see you.
Right.
Even just like in a basic level, you can do pretty well as long as, you know, you just keep chugging and figuring out. But we adjust all the time.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, and what we decided is we wanted to be more of a show than a podcast. So that was the thing that we consciously decided about 2 or 3 months ago. It's like, wait a minute, do we want to be just a podcast? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, of course.
But it does kind of pigeonhole you a little bit when you're just a podcast and it's just the audio part of it without the video and the visual and all that.
Yeah.
And it's cheap enough to do this. You know, 10 years ago, hell, I couldn't have done half this. You couldn't afford to do this.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between now versus 20 years ago. But I think that as technology progresses, you'll see more and more and be more and more competitive. So you got to stay on your game. Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Then I believe you know, getting into any of these things 10 years ago when stuff was more expensive would have still been it was more wide open.
Exactly.
YouTube was more wide open. You know, you could definitely plant your flag a little bit easier, but and now it's way more accessible, which means there's a lot more competition. But
right. Sure. Hey, competition is good, right? When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Tony Angelo on the Classic Auto Mall show. See you in a minute.
Stock number 5702 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is a beautiful and completely restored 1963 Pontiac Grand Prix. It sports a 389 cubic inch V8 that's been upgraded to tri-power with over 300 horsepower. It has a Roto Hydromatic 375 three-speed automatic transmission with Safety Track rear axle and 323 gears. One of the hidden gems of this classic Pontiac is the rare optional cruise control knob just to the right of the steering column. The interior is in like new condition and includes an AM/FM push button radio. It has independent coil springs in the front, four link with coil springs in the rear, and power drum brakes on all four corners. It also has factory dual exhaust, and you can see all the details and nearly 100 photos at classicautomall.com. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Easily search for your next classic at classicautomall.com.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, where it could be sunny, wet, rainy, snow, and we don't know because we don't know when you're listening. So, heck, it could be yesterday or it could be 10 years from now. We don't even know. Talking to our friend Tony Angelo, who's got Stay Tuned, an amazing YouTube channel. So, what's next? I mean, what's the future for your channel? Is it continue more of the same because it's working so well, or are you thinking, oh, we got to do something different?
I mean, I think we're gonna just continue to evolve sort of organically. You know, we bring on a project, we do it, we sort of see it to fruition, and then we get on to the next thing. I've got quite a few dumb ideas that we're gonna see too nice. In the future, and maybe the projects get a little bit bigger, a little bit more intense. Like, you know, now we're doing. I have an SP22 NASCAR legit, like right. You know, V8 that's going in my 55 Chevy. That's something that we probably couldn't have done last year.
Sure,
and it's just because we've got, you know, a little bit more like ability to buy stuff like that. But it also was a big swing for us. So we'll kind of take some big swings. We kind of go back and forth between like, hey, this is like super relatable. It's really me. Like I'm on Marketplace constantly. Like I have to have that. This is cool. I always wanted one of these. Let's see what they do. But yeah, no, I mean, we may get into some event stuff. Mm-hmm. Is a long-term goal. Obviously build the merch out, but we're having a blast. You know,
sure.
Maybe get out and travel a little bit more now that.
We keep threatening that as well, too.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be fun, although I'm very comfortable right here.
Yeah, this is pretty cool spot.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, could you give me like a brief
yeah.
on how this came
Yeah, so welcome
together?
To my nightmare, as Alice Cooper would say. We started this in 2018.
Okay.
My business partner bought the mall because he had 400 barn finds. And these cool old barn finds that are just as he found them in a field. His only goal was to get them running.
Okay.
He didn't care about making them pretty. Again, we wanted to get them running. He wanted to preserve them. You know, people rescue dogs. He rescued pickup trucks and Oldsmobiles and nothing. And it wasn't about value. It wasn't about rescuing a Duesenberg.
Yeah.
It was about rescuing a 55 Buick four-door sedan that nobody cared about.
Yep.
And he thought, I don't want that to go away. And then he realized, wait a minute, I got 336,000 square feet here.
Yeah.
I got a lot more space. So he and I partnered up and we decided we were going to make a consignment business out of it. We didn't want to own $40 million worth of cars.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, who needs that kind of pressure?
Yeah.
You know, or has the money?
Yeah.
And so we said, you know, we're going to build a consignment business. And I already had a business plan for it, whether I knew it was going to work or not. Who had any idea, right?
Okay.
But what we found was the amount of cars that are in this part of the world is staggering. And you're from this part of the world,
absolutely,
right? From Doylestown, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, between the drag strips and Carlisle and Hershey and just car collectors in general and lots of money in this part of the world, the car collection community is unbelievable up here. And so we quickly went full throttle. And then, of course, the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, oh, man. And the cool thing about our program is we don't charge people a monthly fee. We don't charge them an upfront fee. We only get paid when we sell, just like in real estate. So the pandemic hit, and we locked those doors that you're looking at right there. And my son and my wife and I walked away and said, well, this was fun. We've been in business for about two-plus years. And we thought, well, this was fun while it lasted. I guess we got to go get another gig. And the phone was ringing, and that phone right there, and I answered, hello, Classic Auto Mall. Well, yes, we do have a Mustang for sale. And then the other line was ringing. I said, Kathy, get over here, answer that other line. And the phones kept ringing, and we kept selling cars. And luckily, we had about 800 cars in inventory at the time.
Yeah.
And so we were able to weather the storm. We weren't getting new consignments, but we were selling from the inventory we had. And then, of course, things came back, and we learned a lot of valuable things about our business, which was really interesting, like things that we were doing that didn't make a whole lot of sense and wasted a lot of time. the pandemic taught us. So in some ways, it wasn't the end of the world for us.
Okay.
You know, and we sell about 100 cars a month, which is almost unheard of, you know, for a single. And I pinch myself when I say it because I'm just afraid, you know, nobody's looking, nobody's stopping us, you know, and then all of a sudden somebody's going to show up and go, I'm sorry, you just can't do that anymore.
That's awesome. Hunter, yeah, we actually did, I've stored a bunch of cars here before.
Right. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah.
When we were doing Motor Trend, like same pandemic stuff changed everything.
Sure.
We shot a lot out of my PA shop. The overflow of cars was crazy. We just have a little shop, so it was crazy. We stuffed a couple cars here.
Sure.
My Demon was here for a while. My Cuda was here for a while.
No kidding. Yeah, yeah. It's funny. That's a separate business from us. It's called Space Mall, and there's things back in there. And I every once in a while
is that part of your business or no?
It's my partner's business. Okay. He owns that, and he and I are partners in Classic Automall, and then he owns the building. So it's connected, but it's not. We don't have time to pay attention to what they're doing, and vice versa. But I'll go wander back there every once in a while. I'm like, there's 599 GTB.
There's some stuff back there. Yeah, even where they're like, hey, stick your cars in here. I was like,
what?
Whoa, there's some.
You know, that garage social thing that Hagerty's doing is really cool, where they build these garages where you can store your car.
Yep.
And then they have a little social area with a bar and seating areas and things like that. But it is pricey. The one, I think, down in Delray Beach, Florida, is $650 a month to store your car.
Yeah.
But real estate is so ridiculous down there.
Yeah.
You know, not quite the same as it is here. So you'd mentioned before we went to break about you bought an 800 horsepower NASCAR motor.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
And put it on the dyno because you had to prove what it had.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we had to see what we paid for and made sure it did the thing, and it does. Yeah, it made 811. It's a 406.
Right.
It's a little bit bigger. It's got a bigger stroke in it. And it's been, you know, it's not straight off like a NASCAR race. It's
sure.
had harder rings put in it and a little bit different camshaft, and it's no longer the 4.7 swap. It's traditional timing order.
Right.
For a small block. So a few things were done because the guy ran it in like a chassis car on a drag strip for, you know, a few years after he refreshed it. But, you know, I wanted to see what it could do. And yeah, it made an 8.11 out of a small block at 8,800 RPM, whatever it did. Yeah, yeah.
So what is it in or going in?
It's going to go in my 55 Chevy. I have like a sort of street strip style 55 Chevy. It's like mostly in primer.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little cage in it from the probably 70s or 80s.
Sure.
It has ladder bars on it, that kind of thing. And I think the idea, there's so many 55 drag cars, and like Finnegan's got his Blasphemy, which is super rad.
Right.
I don't think we'll do a gasser with it. I think we may just do kind of like a moonshine runner kind of vibe and just see what it does. But, you know, we'll take it to the strip and stuff, but that won't be the whole intention with the car.
Sure. And will you drive it down the strip with all that power?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. No. Yeah. Why? Who else is? Nobody else is going to drive that, right?
Yeah. G-Force just finished up the transmission.
Right.
So they're a PA company. Yeah, I love Pennsylvania.
You know, it's a great place.
When I went to LA for years and years to go race, I was like, the scene in Pennsylvania is unbelievable. And people, you know, they're between a circle track race and the drag strips and even this huge drift scene here in Jersey, like this area, there's just so much going on.
You know what you find too in Pennsylvania more than you would expect in the Northeast? It's not northern. You know, people are very friendly. You know, people have this stereotype of people from the Northeast that they're mad and in a hurry and angry and yelling and always, you know, pissed off. And people are so chill in Pennsylvania. It's just nice, you know, good-hearted people, good-souled people, if you will.
Yeah.
And I didn't know to expect that when I moved here.
I always say I feel like California is mean people acting nice, and Pennsylvania is nice people acting mean. So once you get past that one layer, they're generally pretty solid.
You can peel away that little bit of that onion, right?
You know, people can be gruff for 2 seconds, and then you're like, hey, and then it usually all melts away.
I find that my closest relationships start out contentious. Like a guy that you get in an argument with or something turns out to be your best buddy because you're probably exactly alike. You know, that's why you're contentious in the first place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I always think, you know, there's always, if you cut off somebody in Pennsylvania, I have this theory. It's if you look them straight in the eyes, you go, I'm sorry.
Right. Then they're okay.
They're like, and if it was your fault.
Yeah. Oh,
they're
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Like, cool. Now we're friends immediately.
But you know what you can do? You can cut off a Tesla because they'll automatically brake.
That's true.
So
that's true.
There's no way that you're going to get hit. So you can just cut them off. And
that's on Elon. He did that.
He did that. And the Cybertruck. Have you seen one of those? I saw one at
I've seen a couple cruise by on like the Turnpike. I haven't seen one up close.
I saw one at the Mainline Cars and Coffee down in Bala Cynwyd a couple
just
of weeks ago.
Most embarrassing
just
thing of all time.
Hideous. It makes a Pontiac Aztec look cool.
That's true. And for 100 times the price.
Yeah, and now they've got one that's a different black one or something. I think it's on Bring a Trailer or one of those.
I cannot fathom the attraction to that car.
I don't know
either. Besides it being, oh, these are hard to get.
And they're different.
It's the new thing. But it doesn't do anything well.
No.
and it's, you know, not particularly good on the road or off the road or hauling stuff.
It's like an amphicar, bad in the water and even worse on the road. It's like, oh, great. So I'm two things that are no good.
You can miss me with that Cybertruck for sure. But I knew I've seen a million guys I know that are journalists. They're like, you got it. It's just the next evolution. And honestly, I don't really buy it.
I don't buy that
either. Who wants it? Who wants it?
Nobody wants it, A. And I don't think, you know, we're not against some battery power. A hybrid, to me, I get it. It makes sense in certain
instances. Well, I bought a P85D and stripped the powertrain out of it and sold a wrecked car. And we're supposed to electrify a muscle car or a truck or something at some point just to see, hey, what's 800 instant pound-feet of torque feel like?
Yeah. Does the car just flip over?
Who knows? That would be cool. Yeah, we'll find out.
That's like my golf cart around here. It goes from 0 to 11 in no seconds. You know, just immediate. And it goes like that. But I think that there's certainly a place for that. But, you know, the manufacturers are all struggling with pure electric cars right now.
And I don't think the infrastructure is there. I don't think the demand is there. I don't think they've made them attractive enough, either financially or as a driving experience. Sure. There's a lot of drawbacks to it. You know, I don't know that the whole I'm all for whatever. If they were like, hey, you got to drive an electric car every like to your work and back so you can keep your muscle cars and you can have
sure,
whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But if it works, and it was, I could charge it and it wasn't a disaster. Sure. But I don't think, you know.
Listen, if you live in a small community and you go from your house to the grocery store to the hairdresser to the drugstore and you go home and that's your whole routine, church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Then probably it makes sense for you. You plug it in most of the time. It's probably always fully charged. But that if you're making any kind of trip of any degree, and if you're like me, I go down rabbit holes driving and all of a sudden I'm in somewhere I didn't even know where I was.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about going, you know.
Well, the other thing is I'm doing that trip to the grocery store and to my kid's school and it's all within a couple miles. I do it in a 25-year-old Toyota.
Right.
Even if it gets 10 miles, it's a Land Cruiser, but like, what do I use? A couple gallons of gas every week? It's crazy. The idea that everyone has to have a Brent for me. The idea that everyone is going to have a brand new car every 4 years.
It's ridiculous.
Seems like the most wasteful thing ever. Cars can last 20, 30 years easily. Yeah. Everything since the 90s drives beautifully and has enough amenities that you could possibly want. It's wild.
Well, and the 90s, I mean, the cars back in the day were not supposed to technically last past 100,000 miles. You know, that was the big thing is that you had a car with 100,000 miles. It was ran away.
Yeah.
Do not go near that car. And of course, they got a lot better at that. But I think that, you know, the carbon footprint and all the different things with an electric car is way worse than what they're telling the American people. And people are gullible, and I get it. And want to try to do what's right for the environment. Listen, there's nothing worse than driving behind a dump truck just spewing black smoke out because you think, you know, that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
That could be changed or fixed. But, you know, I think that we'll see a back off of that a little bit. And then, you know, they'll always be there. I don't think they're going to ever go away. Yeah. Maybe hydrogen is the next
hydrogen thing. Apparently, if you can crack the hydrogen fuel cell, like that'll be the way forward.
Yeah, everybody thinks.
I know Toyota had a huge push years and years ago about it. And I think they're refocusing in that direction. I think that alone would solve, you know, a huge issue. And
or nuclear.
And that's the thing. You could convert modern cars to aftermarket. So that would be incredible. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about. I have no idea. I'd love to see, you know, obviously we all want to leave a decent future for our kids.
Absolutely.
But what's the smartest, most realistic way to do it? And is it one thing for everybody? Well, everybody's getting electric cars. Like, I just don't think we've quite got there.
Yeah, I was driving back from New York State last week and these charging stations, and you see guys and you can see it on their face and they're like, you know, look at their watch going, okay, am I going to get out of here anytime?
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm getting my gas pumped by the guy in Jersey who's the nice guy and wiped my windshield. Although, make sure when the guy does your windshield at any full service station that your automatic wiper is off, because when he starts to put the thing down and the wiper hits him and he looks at you like, thanks a lot. And has that happened?
No, most of our cars aren't that fancy.
Right, they don't have automatic wipers, right? You know, I like the repurposing of cars, and I like the fact that, you know, you grab something like my partner did with his barn finds, and like you guys are doing, is they're not completely used up. There's still some life left in them.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that that's a great thing. There's no reason for us to throw away stuff just because. I mean, I won't throw away a clock radio that stopped working 22 years ago because eventually one day I'm going to try to fix it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I've got every cell phone I ever owned since 1999.
Why? I don't know.
I have no idea, but, you know, I'm with you. Anything that has value, I think, you know, we shouldn't live in such a disposable culture.
100%. So when we return, you got time to join us for one more segment?
Sure.
All right. We'll return with Tony Angelo with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown. We'll see you in a bit.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight, or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide, Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web at ClassicAutoMall.com.
We're back with our guest, Tony Angelo, and we're talking about all kinds of things automotive. So you were just recently right up the street from us, weren't you, at Maple Grove?
Yeah, I mean, not too long ago.
Yeah, you're doing something with one of your whatever you call it, YouTuber or whatever.
Oh, with Derek?
Yeah.
VyScript. Yeah, we had built. So it's always fun to do these collaborations, and sometimes I'll see a car, and if it's not for me, I'll know who it's for. And
right.
I saw this Fairlane couple years ago on Marketplace, and I was like, it's an old drag car, it's cool, it's a big two-door Ford. I was like, Derek, you should get this car.
Right.
He was in, he was like, buy it, so right. Done, I'll buy it, I'm in. And then it sort of sat for a while, and we knew we wanted to like resurrect it, get it back on the road, get it back on the track. So he came up here, and we made a couple episodes out of that, just that procedure, and it's right. A car that actually is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Turned out really nice, you know, shined up pretty well, really cool, you know, old PA drag car. And we found some good history about it.
That's what I love is the history.
The history is the coolest part of it. Who owned this thing? Who did these, who put this cage in? Who put the seat in? Who used to rip it down? You know, being from this area, it was a car from Limerick, I think.
Wow.
You know, it had been to Maple Grove probably 40 years earlier. So that's just cool. So super cool and super special. And Derek appreciates all that sort of stuff too, which was really, really great. And, you know, he came out and we got it to rip down the track. We did put a small block in it instead of a big, you know, right. Then you find it a little more like, well, we used to have a 427 in it, and it needs to be this serious, whatever.
Right.
And we're like, all right, well, cool. We put a 302 in it for now.
Hey, 302, nothing wrong with a 302.
No,
we say that all the time. That's a great motor.
Yeah. It's the best sounding car we've had in a minute.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, I think that, and it's great that, you know, just like with us, you kind of work with guys that you're kind of in, not competition with, but yeah, you're kind of going after the same market share and all that good stuff. And we do the same thing. We have people on from the auction houses here. We have other dealers on our show. We figure there's room for everybody.
We actually wound up, Derek was like, find a time that works for you to put your show out. Everybody sort of says that. YouTube gives you some information on when your viewers are there. And we wound up, you know, I don't watch Derek's show, VyScript, every week.
Sure.
So we started putting our stuff out on Friday evenings, and we wound up putting out like 2 hours before Derek's show, which I think could be seen as like sort of a move like against, or, you know, him, or like to try to what it wound up being. People are like, we love this. We watch your show. We watch Derek's show.
It's just a natural progression.
It's a nice week, you know, Friday night. So it's been really cool. And yeah, I think he could have taken that a little bit differently. And we just weren't aware of it. But
sure.
He was super cool with it.
Well, we try to do the same thing when we're doing things or events here. We try to make sure and not step on the toes of somebody else. Because, listen, we want a rising tide lifts all ships, you know, and everybody's doing well. I always love the fact that, like, I watch a lot of music videos on YouTube and stuff, and bands and concerts and things like that. AC/DC, if you put out something of theirs, they don't come out after you with copyright. They say the
Is
more
right?
the merrier.
That's
just
cool.
Bring it. Let it go.
Yeah.
You know, put as much out there, because the more out there, the better for
I hope
us.
You're listening, Metallica.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And any of the others that are a little bit...
Yeah, it's not cool.
It's not cool. If it's out there, you know, it they're all rich. I mean, think about it. Metallica is way richer than a heavy metal band would have been from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guys
are
Black
now.
Sabbath. Yeah, or even now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Black Sabbath from the 70s, those guys were eating beanie weenies out of a can on a crappy tour bus. You know, they weren't getting rich. Now these guys are uber wealthy.
You know,
you see Geddy Lee from Rush, his bass collection or his baseball collection. It's crazy, all these people and then the wealth in this country. Do you figure that I mean, how do you find cars for the show? I mean, are you just rumble around Pennsylvania and see them?
I'm going to look around the Classic Car Auto Mall in a minute, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely.
For sure. I'll go to where the, you know, the rattier ones are, if you got any of those.
But we got some ratty ones.
All right, yeah, you got to show them to me. Yeah, we all over. Some. What's really cool is now we have the kind of reach and following. A lot of people will offer them up. Hey,
right.
Man, I've got this project, and I can't finish it.
Right.
What do you think this might be cool for the show? Or... I saw this in the neighborhood. I know you like these. You know, I made it pretty, like, sometimes I'll be on a podcast or whatever, and I'm like, hey, I've always wanted to have one of these. And some people will go, hey, you know, that happens. Or I'll just look. I obsessively check online.
Right,
I'm
right.
like an addict.
So you're on Marketplace.
Yeah,
you're
Facebook
on Bring a Trailer. Bring a Trailer is obviously probably nicer stuff than you're looking for.
I'm looking to sell on Bring a Trailer. I'm looking to buy on Facebook Marketplace. A Craigslist. OfferUp is an unsung hero that people don't really ever check out.
What about Craigslist? Still?
Still there's some stuff.
Yeah.
That was the place to go for many years.
Sure.
And Craigslist is a super small company that never really tried to monetize anything. And now it's, I think it's $5 to list a car. And I think that might have hurt the way that their business model. But yeah, Facebook's probably the big one. Still on Craigslist, still on OfferUp. And that's pretty much it. And then people will offer, hit us up and go, hey, man, you know, this product got out. I bought this and I haven't touched it in a year.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, yeah. The Buick we bought, I found on Marketplace. One of our camera guys actually sent it over. He found, we have everyone that's in our Stay Tuned group chat, which is like a, two or three camera guys that work freelance for us.
Right.
Zach, who was with us full time and is now building hot rods out in Denver, PA. We're all on there, and I'll be like, the links just come.
Just coming and going.
Hey,
and
look at this. Look at this.
Well,
at this.
Same with Wayne Carini and Chasing Classic Cars. He gets more calls of people telling him where barn finds are. You know, hey, my neighbor has this, incredible barn find.
Yeah.
And he gets more probably than he can even go see.
Yeah, it's just a really cool network of supporters.
So what is it you're looking for right now?
I'm always looking for something. I'd like to get another e-body Mopar.
Right.
I've got a 6.4 Hemi collecting dust that I would put in. And maybe so I have my 71 Demon. And I go back and forth because it's an original 344 speed car, matching numbers car, that I've put like a QA1 six link and, all their suspension stuff on it, but I don't want to make it too radical.
Right.
But I know in my heart also I'm never going to sell it, so it doesn't really have any value.
Right, to anybody else.
So who cares? Yeah. It doesn't matter. No one's ever going to buy it, so what's the difference? But I would love to get my hands on like a later Dart Sport or a Duster and stuff that 6.4 Hemi and make like a cool, ratty daily driver kind of thing. There's that. I'm looking, I've been on the hunt for all. What do you got, Barb? What are we looking for? Corvettes. Yeah, C5, C6.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one to do. So have some fun with.
Fun cars.
Not very pricey,
Well, I'd like to do one of those. We may do an auction one of those because I want to take it, right? I want to make a drift car out of it. So it's like, if it has half the body missing already, we're ahead of the game. Yeah. So that's not a big, but just tons of interesting stuff. And it's nice to sort of just dig through and go, oh, I've always wanted like an XR4 Ti or an SVO Mustang.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd still love to get a Turbo 2 RX-7 from the 80s, but they're a fortune now.
They are.
Five or six of them.
Twin turbo Supras are through the roof.
Crazy. Insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to believe what they bring. You say
six figures, minimum.
Yeah,
it's
all day
long. Wild. Yeah. And it's at some point you have to go, is it that good of a car?
or is it just...
Do we want it? Because, it's a cool car. The motor's incredible.
Is it the memory, though? Is it the cool kid in the neighborhood had it?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is at this point. And so
I couldn't have it back in the day.
I could have
it
now.
I can have it now.
I want a Corrado because I couldn't have one as a kid. I had a bunch of water-cooled Volkswagens when I was like 18, 19.
Scirocco.
I would love... I couldn't get any... I only had 8 valves. I couldn't even get a 16-valve GTI.
Right.
So now, if I could get a VR6 Corrado...
They're hard to find, though.
They are hard to find. I'm in a couple of Facebook groups. The move for anyone out there is if you really want a car, there's probably 3 or 4 Facebook groups of guys buying them, selling them, keeping that little culture alive and putting parts up, doing whatever. Join those groups.
Yeah. And they'll give you great advice on what to look for and what not to buy and all those things. And it's great in that community. And you can tell the guys who are full of crap and are just being hateful on there and the guys who are really serious about it. We get emails all the time like that. A guy will say, hey, by the way, did you know that, that didn't come out in 71. It came out in 1970 and really polite about it. Then you get the other guy who's like, you guys are idiots. That car never was made this way.
Yeah, because you're supposed to know every fact about
every
car
apparently,
the entire universe. Yeah.
Apparently we're supposed to do
We get that too. And also, I think that buying and selling on regular Marketplace is a drag. A lot of times it's just you're dealing with Yahoos who just want to talk or just aren't serious. They throw one, they're starting to lowball you, haven't seen the car, whatever it is. So I think those groups are for people that they'd rather list it on that group than they would to deal with the general public of, you know, maniacs.
That's the success of our business.
Yeah, I can imagine here, too, it's the same thing. Come in here, you got somebody that cared about the car.
Yeah.
You know, there's history on it.
We show you everything about a car, good, bad, and ugly. If it's got rust underneath and it gets shown in the pictures, we talk about it. We're not afraid to talk about stuff that's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we want this to be a transparent transaction because it's hard to sell old cars because old cars are old cars and sometimes they work and sometimes they just stop for no reason.
I try to, we just sold our last tow rig. We had an 04 2500 Ram with a Cummins in it. I try to price stuff where I'm like, listen, I'm
ready to sell
this. I do this every day.
Right.
This is the price where I feel like I know what's wrong with it. I know what's right with it. I know the inherent value. Come buy it. If you don't want it, don't buy it. But that's the price. And if you come and look at it, like, basically you'll go, hey, I'll be like, here's, it has X, Y, and Z wrong. And if you're like, well, it also has this one little thing. Like, yeah, fine. That's fine.
Yeah. $5.
It's still the price. It's still the price. I know it's worth all day, whatever. Right. I sold it for. Like, I sold it for like 12 grand for a 230 mile Cummins. It had some rust.
Yeah, sure.
On the body frame is great. We had replaced every suspension part. Solid, solid truck.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, listen, I'm not looking to haggle. So if you don't want, and also we have some reach. So I put it on my social and people are like,
I would imagine it goes pretty quick.
It goes pretty quick, but it's also like, you know, like people show up and he was like, well, there's this and that. I'm like, all right, well,
see
if you don't want to buy it, man, like somebody else will.
Yeah.
But that's generally the way it goes. And I kind of learned that from Freiberger. He puts his cars up at a price and people are like, that's solid, you know, solid.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah, fair.
Fair price.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's like, look, that it is what it is. I don't, and you don't have time. He doesn't have time. I don't really have time to answer 400 emails about it.
And that's what our success, like I said, here is, you know, you're on a, you know, you're out on a Saturday night at dinner, you get a phone call, a guy wants to come see the car, wants to give you a cashier's check and take the car and the title.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And then he wants to leave it there for 3 weeks, or then can you help me with shipping, or, you know, it's just,
and
like,
you deal with all that.
Yeah, and then we just deal with it. People
that's
are like,
awesome.
All they do is go, hello, and I go, I have a check for you. Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, and they hang up and they come pick up a check and then they give it back to us because they found something else they like.
Yeah.
So what's your daily driver? What do you drive on a regular basis?
Right now, I either drive, I have like a 99 LX 470 Land Cruiser.
Right.
That we did a little lift on it and some wheels and tires, and it's got a Doug Thorley exhaust, stuff like that.
Those are bringing great money nowadays, too.
Those are pretty solid. So the 100 series is coming up big time. The 80s are super high.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's built to go through Armageddon. So I have three car seats in that for my girls.
Right.
And that's generally what we kick around. And I've been like, what if we upgraded to this or that? And they're like, do not sell this truck.
This is it.
This is it. So I have that. And then we just bought, I've been kicking around in, we bought a 2014 Ram,
right,
two-wheel drive.
So that's a Cummins. That's a big fancy new truck for you.
That's the newest thing maybe I've ever had in my life, I think, legitimately. So that's the newest. Yeah, no, we bought, when we sold ours, I just wanted something two-wheel drive. They drive a little bit nicer on the road. And I wanted something that had the 6-speed auto.
Sure.
So it was a little bit.
A lot more, of boxes more checked that you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, it's a lot lower miles. So I drive, I've been hard to even get me out of that thing, to be honest. And it gets 22 on the highway, you know, miles a gallon. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So I do that. And then I will kick around in like the power kraut and stuff.
Right.
Because that's a good, pretty
just fun to go tear it up every once in a while. Yeah, the weather has to be right for me, though, because you don't want to be on wet roads and something like that.
No, I'll be all right. It's not too bad.
Well, you drift, right?
Yeah, we'll be okay. So the one car I have in my house right now, because I just got a property with a decent size, like 1,000 square foot, little detached.
Right.
And all right now, the only thing I have in is the power kraut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to fill that sucker up.
Yeah, I will. I'll bring the Firebird over probably soon enough.
Yeah, we'll need to work on that for you. We'll see if we can get you some stuff. And I mean, we didn't get to talk much about drifting, but do you do much of it anymore?
Every year it's on my to-do list to get back out. I grew up racing at E-Town, and the drift track there, they have a killer road course and a killer scene with the Club Loose guys. So the big event, East Coast Bash. It's not like, you know, I'm not super interested in doing like huge competition stuff anymore, but I do want to be on track pretty regularly. I really do.
Keep your chops up.
Keep my chops up. Just let that out. You know, I've got that energy in me. I want to get it out on track. But there's a great like culture around that too. So it's like East Coast Bash is next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you show up on Saturday, you drive all day, you camp, you party. There's a bar
right
on track. Like, you know, it's like a fun scene. There's people barbecuing. They roast a pig every year. It's wild.
And
you wake up Sunday, you wipe the sleep from your eyes. You do it again, and you go home.
Your slogan mantra was "I like to party."
Yeah, I do like to party. A lot less of it these days with being a dad.
Three kids and the responsibility and a business and all those pesky things that get in the way of that.
I like to party occasionally.
When it's convenient for everything to go.
If everything aligns, then I like to party.
Then I'm really going to party. Yeah. But, you know, there may be a, you know, a thing. Oh, crap. I got to go do this. Yeah. Or, you know, so I get it. Anyway, Tony, such a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks,
love
man.
To have you on again.
Absolutely.
And we can wander around and find you your next project.
That'd be
here.
Cool.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom. It's a real indoor mall. If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are. We sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
Well, back once again with the Classic Auto Mall Show. Hey, I'm producer J.R. Russ, and Stu Saffier is with us, and where's Stuart?
Where'd he go? Stuart is out with Tony Angelo and Michael Fromm. Stay tuned, and they're out looking at cars, and
Man.
I don't know if he's buying a car, but he's certainly knows a lot about cars, and he's maybe giving Stuart a lesson or two on some of these hot rods we have in stock.
He knows a lot.
He sure does, and it's great to have him here. Wow, what a great guest, and I've been a big fan of his and watching his videos for a long time. And of course, he was on Hot Rod Garage on television. So
yeah,
really cool to have him here. And he's a Pennsylvania native, so that's even better.
Yep. And I think we have a classic countdown to do of some of the cars that have come in here, the new classics.
The Classic Countdown.
The new arrivals that Stuart has picked out. Let's start with a 1972 Chevy C10 short bed pickup truck. It's stock number 6318. It's out in the mall here. It's a beautiful red and white. It's that sort of two-tone thing that was very trendy back in the 60s and 70s. This one has a 350 crate V8 engine, a rebuilt turbo hydromatic 350 automatic transmission, new suspension, power front discs. You can basically drive this thing anywhere. It's lowered, so it's not standard height as they were in 1972. Great looking truck. You know, 72s have such a great front end, good looking truck, and this one is great for show and go, as I like to say.
Yeah, and you said it's got the crate 350. Does the crate come with it?
Yes, it does, actually.
Oh, well,
absolutely,
you go.
It does. They deliver it usually with forklifts, and crate comes with it.
Oh, that's good to know. Those are good-looking trucks. I like that model year, that genre, I guess you would say.
It's very popular and very hot, and I rode up an 88 pickup truck yesterday, and I feel like they're kind of on their way up the collectible totem pole, as I said. They're just 10 years behind the 70s trucks,
well,
essentially.
Well, you know, so many of us who love classic cars, there's something from our youth. And that youth, if they were born in 1980 or 1970, for example, you know, now they're coming up with the 80s and 90s cars were the cars of their youth.
Exactly right. Next one on the list is a 1971 Ford Bronco. It's stock number 6321. If you are looking for one of these classic Broncos that has been completely retrofitted and show ready, this is the one. This one has diamond stitch leather seating. The interior has been completely redone. It's got a blueprinted 302, another crate V8 engine, putting out 316 horsepower. And you might say, well, 316 horsepower doesn't sound like a whole lot, but on a truck like this, that's more than enough power. It's a near flawless build, and it's got the Holley Sniper electronic fuel injection. What that is basically like an electronic fuel injection carburetor. It's a whole system that you can monitor via computer.
Way better than a standard carburetor.
It'll start every time.
Yeah.
And without much tuning. Actually, like I said, you can tune it on your phone.
And by the way, it's a beautiful light blue metallic over saddle, and I love that the saddle color.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. The color combination on this one is spectacular. In fact, I just was noticing Stuart showing Tony Angelo this one out there. It's close. It's by the car specialist area over there, and it's just a spectacular build, striking color combination, and of course, no expense spared on this.
And a four-speed automatic, right?
Yeah, that's right, on this 1971 Ford Bronco stock number 6321. If you're in the market for one, I think we have four or five classic Broncos in inventory right now, in stock, and so at all different levels. So check out the website, classicautomall.com.
All right. Now, this is my favorite you got coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to skip it then.
Okay.
1961 Chevy Corvette convertible.
Oh, yeah.
Stock number 6324. Really unbelievable car. Roman red and ermine. What? Do you know what an ermine is?
Ermine, I guess they say. Ermine. It's like a fur coat. Yeah. A little animal they made into furs, like mink.
It is. It is like a mink, actually. Yeah. It's a little weasel that lives in the Arctic in Canada, and it's pure white.
Yep.
Pure white. So they've used that name for the color. Numbers matching 270 horsepower, 283 cubic inch V8 in this car. Borg Warner T10 four-speed manual. Again, striking color combination. This was the year of first and last for Corvette. It was the first year to lose the big tooth grille, the first with restyled Stingray tail, and the first year for exhaust pipes that exit below the bumper instead of through it or through the bodywork.
Yeah, I love that look. Instead of the rounded rear end, I like more the Stingray look.
A little sharper look.
Yeah.
It was also the year of last, including the final year for the 283 cubic inch V8, the last model with wide white wall tires, and we say goodbye to the contrasting Cove colors after 1961, which were that sort of iconic inside shape on the bottom side of the car. Yeah.
The C part that kind of cuts in.
Yeah, exactly.
Or indented.
Exactly. It made them iconic, but eventually they did away with them. 1967 Dodge Dart GT convertible. Stock number 6325 here in inventory for Classic Auto Mall. White over black. It's got the 225 cubic inch slant six-cylinder. Very nice paint. Nice chrome on this car. Near showroom interior, which means if this car was new in a showroom back in 1967, it kind of looks exactly as it did then. A904 automatic transmission and just a beautiful, beautiful top-down cruiser car.
Now, is this, when you say white over black, white top, black car?
Yeah, well, let me pull that up there and get a good look at it. 6325 is the stock number on this car.
And that's all you have to do. Just go to classicautomall.com. You want to see anything we talk about or anything you're looking for, you just go there and check it out. Of course, if you have questions, you can always write us at podcast@classicautomall.com or
sales@classicautomall.com.
So,
yeah, white over black interior.
Okay.
White exterior over black interior.
I gotcha.
With the matching soft top. So I love these old convertibles. Really cool stuff. Next car on the list of new arrivals is the 1970 Dodge Challenger RT hardtop. Stock number 6330. Walnut metallic over black. This is kind of an uncommon. I mean, it's not uncommon. We just don't see them that much. Mm-hmm. But I looked it up when I wrote this car up. It was not that uncommon to see a sort of walnut metallic Dodge back in 1970. It was a very common. In fact, brown was a pretty common color.
And brown and black is a good combination.
Always, always a great combination. This is a spectacular car as well. Great paint. Three owners from new, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. The broadcast sheet, which basically is like the birth certificate of the car, tells you what the build was. A freshly worked 440 cubic inch V8.
A big boy.
Big one. Numbers matching 833 manual transmission and super track pack.
The track pack, baby.
With a Dana 60 rear end axle. So that's a really spectacular muscle car here. That's again the 1970 Dodge Challenger RT hardtop.
I've rented a couple of the newer Challengers and I just love driving them. I'm disappointed that they're going to stop making them maybe for a while. They might go away.
That's right. I believe it's a hiatus.
But they're the truest rebirth of the original classics over the Mustang and the Camaro.
Yeah, I agree. They really did pick up a lot of the design cues. And you see one come in and it definitely has a lot of the markers of the early cars. So,
but if you want the original, there's a 1970 right here, RT.
That's right. Speaking of old cars made new again, here's a 2014 Chevy Camaro 2SS Coupe. And that's obviously one of the option packages, 2SS. Stock number 6332, 27,000 actual miles on this car. It's Blu-ray metallic over jet black, meaning the interior, and bright blue. So it's got sort of a two-tone inside. One owner car, 27,000 miles. So this person bought this car in 2014 and just used it for weekends or cruise night.
Fun.
Yep. Yeah, just for good times. Garage kept all to life. Well-appointed, meaning highly optioned. And again, it has the 6.2 liter L99 426 horsepower V8 fuel injected, backed by a 6L ADE. Six-speed automatic transmission. Now, some people prefer a stick shift. Some people prefer an automatic. After having a stick shift for the last year, I can tell you I'm going back to automatic at some point. It's a little tedious. And that's it for the new inventory here at Classic Automall. Be sure to check out the website, obviously. We've had some great guests in the past. If you want to go back and listen to some of the old shows, whether that's you can go to our website, classicautomall.com, and up in the top left-hand corner, I think there's a podcast link there. And we are All the shows are, most of the shows are on Buzzsprout, so you can go to the Buzzsprout website.
And they're also on, you know, like they say, wherever you listen to the podcast. And this is more for our radio folks listening right now on 860 AM and also 97.1 FM HD2. That's the Fanatics HD2 station. So people listening on radio, you can find our shows on the WWDB website, but also you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Index, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, to ask Alexa to play Classic Auto Mall, so many more.
And if you want to see a lot of these cars we're talking about, be sure to check out the YouTube channel. We are up to about 4,000 followers. Always looking for more there, and we're putting up a lot of great content, a lot of shorts and car features and things like that that you can actually visually see the cars. Obviously, the place is open to the public. Check out our business hours. Come in anytime. It's free to walk around a place, which is the greatest indoor car show in the country, I feel, and I've been all over the world.
It's amazing, yeah, and over a museum, because you can take the exhibits home if you really want to.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I don't think Randy LeMay gets enough credit for the YouTube channel. Randy, you're here. Yeah. Say hi.
Thank you. I'd give almost 4,000 fans now.
Well, that's how everybody started. That's how Tony Angelo started.
That's how
Doug DeMuro started. They all started with just a few followers, a few early adopters, as it were, and then they continued to follow. And again, this is in Pennsylvania. It's car show season right now. We look forward to seeing you out there at the car shows. Hopefully the weather cooperates. I want to sign off from Classic Auto Mall, the Classic Auto Mall show. Thanks again for listening. Podcast at classicautomall.com if you have any questions or suggestions. And we look forward to talking to you next week on 860 and all the podcast carriers. Thank you. See you later.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by CarSmarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.